Fire praise team, Cindy. We just want to thank you guys for just leading us in worship every week and just inspiring us and reviving our hearts. You know, we come in with a lot of baggage, but we get to meet God face to face in our worship. And we just thank you guys so very, very much. We want to open up our Bibles to Psalm 112. So take your Bibles out if you got those. We're going to share a couple things real fast before we get into that this morning. But let's start out with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the universe. And we lift you up, Lord, this morning. We want to thank you, dear God, for the time of praise and worship and even prayer, Lord, that we could bring to you this morning, Lord, as we lift up our needs and our challenges. And Father God, we praise you, Lord, for your grace and your strength and all the things, Lord, that you do for us, Lord, to bring us through and to be able to rejoice. Father, I ask as we open up your word this morning, even as we finish this series, Lord, as we think about the last time as we kind of visit parenting once again, Lord, I pray that you would just speak, Lord, through your word, Lord, in powerful ways. And Father God, help us to understand that even in the brokenness of our lives and even in the brokenness of our home, Lord, there is power because you're there. And I ask, Lord, that you would just inspire us, Lord, to strive, Lord, to just be Christian homes, Lord, that are going to honor you and glorify you and be a place, Lord, of stability, Lord, for our children. And Lord, for those generations, even as we just sang about, that are going to come after us. Lord, work in our hearts, I pray. Give me clarity of thought and communication, Lord. Take me out of the way, Lord, that we might hear your word by your spirit. And it might touch exactly the areas that we need this morning. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want to thank all of you for praying for our marriage conference. And that's the whole gang that went last week. And it was awesome. It was so good. Glory be to God. And we had a chance to spend time together, to spend time in God's word, and to be challenged and to be encouraged and to relax and have a little bit of fun. And I'll just share a couple pictures with you guys as we go along through that very quickly. So Chris, help me out if you would just set me on there in advance. So there it is. You can see our couples. And by the way, the forecast for the weekend was awful, but it was beautiful. We had just great time together, and we're just so thankful for that. And I'll go right to the next picture as well. And we had a chance to climb to some new heights. In fact, as you see this picture, we could climb 217 steps to a height of 172 feet above the Atlantic Ocean. And we had a whole bunch of couples, and we'll go right to the next shot, that had a chance to do that with us. And by the way, those people, we didn't have to jail anybody at the marriage conference. That is the protective fencing around the top of the Barnegat Lighthouse. And no couples were thrown overboard or anything like that, so it was good. But we just praise God. It was a great time. And but the conference people, they sent us a thing. Are you ready to book next year? And I think we are. It was really good. I want to encourage all of us that we're going to be looking to do this again next year. It was just a great place at Harvey Cedars. And God just really worked among us and hopefully laid some good foundations for the future. So thank you guys for praying. Thanks for supporting all of us in that. And it was indeed a great blessing. So we're going to move right into where we want to kick off and finish today is we've been talking about building kingdom homes, right? Marriage and parenting and growing together in Christ. And we want to move right on down to our message today, which is this. And we titled it, The Power of Family. And you might be saying, man, you haven't been to my house because there's not a whole lot of power there. Or there's a lot of power, but it's like wrestling each other. We're going to talk about how we can have the power of family really work in the lives of our kids, our grandkids, and everyone else that we come in contact with. And by the way, this is sort of looking forward, what we can do, and it's encouraging us in what we're already doing. We know we're not quite there yet, but we're going to work on improving and getting better. So I'll just leave you with this sort of challenging thought to think about. Parenting is indeed a tough job in the 21st century. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? But God has given us tremendous power to families to develop their children and to change the world for generations to come. And I want to just challenge this. Let's listen in how that can work. And by the way, think about that as a parent. You have the ability to literally change the world. And that's an amazing thing. And by the way, if anybody's a teacher out there, think about that too. You have the ability to change the world as you change the lives of people. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at what God's word says about how we can leave a legacy of blessing. I'm going to kind of skip past this, but I want to just emphasize one point, and this point is this. You know, a kingdom home where God is reigning is a place of security and stability. And I hope as we leave this series and we leave this place today, that our homes become even better at that. If they're not, let's confess and let's deal with God and let's try to make them that place of security and stability for our kids and their grandkids and everyone who comes behind us. And we're going to slide right on down to the next slide today. And you know, I just want to have us think about this for a second. By God's design, the family is the building block of civilization. And so I want you to stop and think about that for a second. Like, God didn't make a mistake. He structured the family, and he made it the building block on which everything else is leaning on. And in Christ-centered families, we grow to know God and experience his life-changing power as we trust him, as we obey him, as we grow, as we pray, as we mentor, and as we model Jesus. And I want to add one thing that I didn't write in here, which is this. As we make mistakes, as we fail, as we succeed, we learn that the grace of God is indeed amazing. And it works. So you might come in today and say, man, our family's a mess. Just wait till God gets involved. You know, God's going to do some great stuff. So I want to just kind of dive right in this morning and go right to our next slide this morning. And I want you guys to think about this morning. I want to kind of give you guys some perspectives on the power of family. And I want to look at it in two ways. And I want to think of it this way today. You know, how many people, and you don't have to raise your hand, you've done your very best, but there have been failures. There have been some successes, right? You know, we kind of, you know, we celebrate the wins and we mourn the losses. But hopefully we learn from all of those things. In the book of Romans chapter 15, in the very beginning of that chapter, it says this. It says, as we look back on Scripture, all of these things were written for our learning that we might have hope. And that's why I want to kind of take us today. We're not trying to beat ourselves up today for what we didn't do well. We're looking to the God of hope and amazing grace to help us to do it better as we move forward. And it's never too late. So I want to begin with this morning. I want to just kind of stop. And you guys can turn there in your Bibles if you wanted to, but go to the book of Judges, chapter 2. And I want to think about failure for a second. And by the way, this failure that Scripture has documented that we can learn from is enormous. And we read the book of Judges, and you can kind of jot this down. The book of Judges is a book of Scripture that follows after Israel has come in, taken over the kingdom. You know, everything ought to be good. And it seems like people lose sight of God and lose sight of what they need to do. And all of a sudden, things really go downhill fast. And Judges is this book that it describes seven different cycles of the nation of Israel being punished by God, going into slavery and servitude, confessing their sins, coming back to God, and then doing it all over again. You know, and that sometimes that happens in our lives. But read this passage with me. Look at this verse. It says, so the people, and by the way, this is right after, you know, Joshua, he conquered the land. Remember Joshua? We saw victories at Ai, all the other places, right? Joshua, you know, remember he overcame at Jericho? The nation of Israel was there. It was stabilized. They didn't follow God exactly, which is part of the problem, but they took over possession of the land. And look what it says. It says, So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. And by the way, that's like, man, praise God, that's amazing. So these people, these elders, along with Joshua, they were able to lead the people of God so that they served God faithfully until they left this earth. But the challenge kind of came along after that. And look what it says, now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, and he was 110 years old. You know, amen, right? By the way, God gave him a long life. He did amazing things in the power of God. And look what it says, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance. And by the way, the nation of Israel, they got all the inheritance that God had set out for them, and they laid them out just where they're supposed to go. And it says, and they buried him in his inheritance at Timnath-Gaash. But check out the next thing. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Everybody look up for a second. That's a challenging thought, isn't it? Think about this. We went from like, man, look at all the great things Joshua and the elders did. And you look at their kids and you say, what in the world happened? And I want to share with you guys, as we look at the world that we face today, and there's a number of people that are saying the same thing. And I bought a book back in 2006. It was written by a man named Josh McDowell. Remember that name? Probably if you weren't back at that time, you probably don't know who Josh McDowell was. Josh McDowell was a big author on family and parenting and working with teenagers and all that stuff. And he wrote a book back in 2006. It was called The Last Christian Generation. And he said, as I look out into history, out into the world, I'm seeing that our kids do not have the same values. They do not have the same knowledge. They do not have the same understanding of the faith that we have embraced and lived by all of our lives. And that's kind of what happened in Judges too. These children, they kind of don't know who God really is. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. When our kids don't know who God really is, who Jesus really is, and who they really are, they tend to create gods that fit them. You know, we have a God that fits us. You know, he does what we want him to do. You know, if we stroke him just the right way, we get what we want. We go to him when there's problems, and when everything is good, we just enjoy life. And this is kind of the issue here, and I want to throw out to us, it is so critical for us as parents to understand, and we, by the way, have said this over and over, write this down, we cannot outsource parenting. We can get help, we can use the church, we can use the school, we can use all those things, but we can't outsource the responsibility of communicating to our kids in our homes, living it day by day, who God is and who we are and what he's done for us. And that's kind of the challenge. And, you know, I want to encourage us. That was the failure of that generation. A lot of us, we've tried our best to communicate that to our kids. And we need to, in the power of God, continue to try harder. We need to make sure, I'll throw this out, we were at the conference last week, and the guy that took our picture, he came to Harvey Cedars Bible Conference. You know, it's an open, people come there and do different kinds of ministries. And we all got out there by the bay to get our picture taken, and we're like, wow, we want to get everybody in it, including me. So I go back inside and said, hey, can one of you guys take our picture? Well, the man who jumped right up had just got there, and he was from South Africa. And I said, and he actually, by the way, is a missionary pastor and a teacher. And he said, I said, what are you here for? Because he wasn't part of our marriage conference. He was sitting with the people that waited on us and, you know, were part of the administration of the conference. And he said, I came here And I'm here to speak to churches and pastors about the importance of discipleship. And by the way, think about that. Sometimes we think America has it all figured out. This guy's in South Africa, and all around the world, people are saying, man, we got to do a better job at training up our children to really know who God is, who Jesus is, and who they are, and what God has done for them. We got to figure this out because they're losing sight of who he is, you know, and their values are not our values, you know, and that's kind of the challenge. So there's failures, and we have to understand that's part of the problem. And I want to say this, everybody look up, write this down in your bulletin. Failure is not fatal. Say it with me. Failure is not fatal. Not learning from failure can be, right? Not learning from failure can be. So, you know, we kind of messed up. We're not, you know, by the way, everybody look up for a second. How many people here have messed up as parents? By the way, all of our hands got to be up, right? You know, we can think of, man, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't say that. I wish I did say that. You know, if we can make up a list, we can spend all day. There would be no cantata practice today. You know, but there's got to be cantata practice today, so we're not going to make that list. And praise God, those things are under the blood and under the grace of God, and we can move forward even though we didn't do it perfect the first time. You know, and that's what God wants to do. So failure is not fatal. Not learning from failure can be, and it can leave a lot of consequences. So we got to learn, and God gives us this. Remember, we read that verse, Romans 15. I just gave it to you. You know, God gave us all these things as an example that we might do what? That we might learn and have hope. You know, God's able, right, to do that. So let's look at success for a second. We're going to go right down to the next slide. Thank you, Chris. One more, brother, please. And by the way, I skipped one. By the way, that was kind of bad. The next slide I skipped over for sake of time was worse. So I'll just tell you about it real fast. The next line says, not only did they not know God, it says they forsook him. They said, we're not going to follow that God. You know, so bad got worse. And it tends to do that, right? So let's look at success. And praise God for success. And by the way, maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, I'm a single mom. I'm a single dad. You know, my family has all these different struggles. You know what? Well, God gave us 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 3 to say, you know what? A single parent with God is powerful family, right? And he says this word. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he is talking, Paul writes this to Timothy, and listen to what Paul says. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, and he's, by the way, he's talking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, man, I look at your life and I see a genuine faith. I see that you know the God of the scriptures and you know Jesus and you know who you are and you know what he's done. I see that. But look what he says. I saw it first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'll throw this out. Sometimes we try to come up with all these excuses and all these problems, but guess what? God and you following God is a powerful family. Right? So, you know, with God, and I encourage us, you know, we live in a world where there's brokenness all over the place, marriages, families, all these things. Man, when we come back to God, God fixes all that stuff, and God can use the brokenness to show his grace and show his power and change the lives of those who come after us, right? And that's the name of the game. That's what God's trying to do. And look what he says, I'm persuaded that this is in you also. But, you know, and by the way, you know, we have a Eunice here. It's not the same one. Okay? Yeah, it's not the same one, but praise God, right? That faith in it. I thought it's out. How many folks are grandparents, right? You know, that's new to us this year. We're grandparents, but man, we still have a role. And by the way, I know lots of you, and we talk all the time about all these kinds of things. We've seen your grandkids here. And you know, I heard this preacher say this kind of a cute saying. He said, yeah, my kids have a drug problem. And you might say, oh. And he doesn't mean what you're thinking of. He said their problem was that they got drugged to church. They got drugged to hear the word of God. They got drugged to Awana. and maybe they were digging in their heels, but their heels let go and they got drug here, right? And I say that to say, that's the kind of thing that we need to have here, right? We need to bring our families here, right? And by the way, when we are single parenting situation or whatever, or we lose someone through death, whatever it is, we reach out to the body, and God has people who are going to plug in those gaps, you know, and going to help fill those things. So there is no situation that is too bad for God to help. And God uses his people to do those things. And by the way, I praise God. Jill, the last 2 years, we've been talking about this in Awana a lot, this idea. We go every year, there's a conference, and we look at it online. It's called the Child Discipleship Forum. And people everywhere, from South Africa to New Jersey to wherever else, they're talking about how do we do this better that our kids know God. And if they know God, they can follow him. You know, it just comes right after that. And I want to go right to the next passage real quick, which is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul continued. Look what he says. He says to Timothy, he says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the key, right? We can't start too young. It's like not too young. Sing to them, show them scripture, walk them through, you know, children's Bibles, walk them through the regular Bible, and live out your faith to the best of your ability. And when you're wrong, let them know that you sin too, and God's faithful to forgive. Right? That's what we're talking about. So we're going to jump right along to our main points of today. Well, here they are. Some perspectives on the power of family. And I want you guys to kind of get a hold of this for a second this morning. Right? Here's the first one, right? Worship is experienced. Let me put it prospectively. In our families as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our children and us can experience worship and can understand that there's a God who's way greater than us, who's responsible for everything, but our kids can experience worship. Next thing is this, faith is foundational. And remember, in the book of James, and by the way, if you're like a theology student, you always write a paper on this. You know, how comes James puts faith and works together and Paul just looks at faith, right? But here's the deal, you know, and by the way, in the book of James, who is Jesus' brother, by the way, half-brother, he said this. He said, faith without works is dead. I mean, it's not there. It's not really active. Something's going on with it, right? Because if we have a faith, there's going to be something that we do that follows it. Otherwise, it's just empty words. And faith is foundational. And our homes can be a place where people and our kids see us acting in faith, not just talking about faith. You know, and that's in the place of hard decisions. We'll cover that. Love and grace can be manifested in our homes. Everybody look up. When your kids make a mistake, when they fail, when they get in trouble, when the principal calls, life is not over. You may want to end theirs, but it's really not over. Right? So there's a place in our homes for love and grace. They can be manifested. And by the way, all you kids, and I see blessing, you ought to be saying amen to that, right? That love and grace are manifested, right? By the way, I'm not just picking on her, but there's other teens out here too. And by the way, adults, look up. We were one of them, right? I praise God that my mom and dad had some level of grace. Otherwise, you'd have a different pastor, right? You know, and we could all say that, right? We praise God that our home is a place where love and grace are manifested. And how about the next one? Prayer is practiced. In other words, when stuff goes wrong or where we're thanking God, we pray as a family. We pray over meals. You know, we pray when something's up, when something's serious, and our kids even can see us, you know, find the grace of God. Go down to the next slide, if you would. And we're going to pick this up. Everybody look up. I want to say this for a second. Our kids are not going to follow us and know God because we are cool. And by the way, everybody look up. Especially at my age and at most of your ages too. If we were ever cool, we're not cool anymore. right? And I throw this out. They're not going to follow us because we're cool. They're going to follow us because we have credibility. Amen. You understand? Not that we're suave and we do everything right and we get it all together and we're like amazing in and of ourselves. They're going to follow us because we have credibility. When we're wrong, we can say we're wrong, and we seek the forgiveness of God and the forgiveness of people. And you know, and if, by the way, if we're the ones that have been wronged, they see us give grace. They see us, you know, forgive other people when they do something wrong. They see us when we sin. And by the way, we all do. All of us, we already sinned today, and we just came to church this morning. You know, like, we all sin in our minds, in our actions, in our words. We all sin, our attitudes. So our kids are going to follow us when they see a home that has credibility. And I'll throw this out. Remember, it says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You know, that's the general principle. It's really true most of the time. But the idea of that is, when we train up our kids and they see it lived out before them, you know, it's going to stick. And I want to encourage us. Let's make it do that. Let's make it do that for them. So I want to move on real fast. Talk about worship being experienced. So here we go. Worship is, take me back, Chris. Chris is watching the clock, and he said, Pastor Gary, we got to get this thing done. Because Mrs. Decker told me I got to be ready for practice in a little while. All right, so worship is experience, right? Look what it says. Psalm 78, we looked at this passage a couple weeks ago, by the way, just a great passage. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your hearts to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. By the way, I'm gonna stop for a second. Did you get that idea there? This is something that is being passed on generation to generation. And I hope, by the way, that we are setting a standard of a generation of people that are worshipers. And when I say worshipers, not just people that hold up their hands, that's part of it, but people that live that out day by day. And when we don't, we try to fix it. We try to get it right with God, right? And look what he says here. He says, we will not hide them from their children, these words, these things that God has done, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And I kind of thought about that for a second. I thought about this. You know what? Our kids in our homes, as we look forward, let's not praise ourselves what a great job we're doing before them, but let's praise God for the things that he's doing in us. Right? And we see good things happen, by the way. When we see good stuff happen at church, at school, in our own lives, on our job, let our kids know that we know who was the origin of that, and that it's God himself, right? And I love the phrase says, his strength and his wonderful works. Let your kids know that when you're about to break, the one that keeps you together is God, right? I'm going to throw this out. Like, these kind of conversations in our home about spiritual stuff shouldn't be weird, shouldn't feel weird. Like, we have to just, let's be who we are. You know, let's be who we are. Sunday, let's be who we are, like, that way at home every single day. Let's not be somebody different, you know, based on the environment that we're in. You know, we're not chameleons, we're Christ followers. You know, and God wants us to do that, right? So as we stop and we think about that, let our kids experience worship. And by the way, everybody look up. Our kids, right? I appreciate you guys. And if I call you out, I don't mean that. I love you. I appreciate you. But, you know, our kids, every generation, I'm looking over here, too. I see Janice and her buddies over here, too. And Leslie, by the way, thank God for Leslie and Rachel. Thanks for teaming up and leading us in worship together, right? But I'll throw this out. Worship, right? Worship's a battleground, isn't it? Oh, that song is so boring, or that music is so boring. And you know what? Every generation has said that since Adam and Eve, right? But I want to throw this out. I hope that, and by the way, you guys will take your relationship with God and you're going to put it in your own context. And the way you sing and the words you sing will be different. But I hope that's one thing that just is that thread that goes through all the worship that we have, and that's the thread of authenticity. That you might think I'm weird, I'm singing some old dusty song, but I'm singing it from the bottom of my heart because the God that I'm singing to is the reason, right? And we got to get that. And by the way, I hope all you guys that are young, they're going like, boy, I wish church was more kicking, you know? You know what? As you guys grow up and take our place, make it more kicking, but glorify the Lord Jesus Christ as you do, right? You know, that's what we got to do. But worship is a place that's experienced in our homes and in our church. And mom and dad, that's the job for us to talk about just how great God is, right? So the next thing I want to hit real fast, Chris, this is the right slide. Here we are. Faith is foundational. And by the way, we all know this verse, right? What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? What's that verse? Say it out loud with me. Say it out loud. Right? Here's the deal. When we're in our house, let's live that life of trust. In other words, we can say it, we all know it. Some of you guys probably could say this verse backwards. But that doesn't get us real far. What gets us real far is that we actually live our lives based on our trust in what God said. And we can show that to our students. That, by the way, I thought sometimes, don't we struggle with that? If I do the right thing, I might lose my job. And they pay me really good. Have you ever thought that? If I do the right thing, it might cost me. You know? And our kids need to see us wrestle with that and trust the God who is the giver of every gift, right? And that's kind of the challenge. And look what he says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, in all your ways, we're going to go, God, you're God. And again, I'll throw this out. I can remember this, you know, in my grandparents and then to my parents. In my grandparents, like, they lived life, my grandparents especially, they were, like, pretty serious about God. And they were, and, you know, you guys, you kids would say, boy, they were kind of legalistic. You know, and they kind of were, and I probably felt the same way. But when they got up, they said, man, we're going to read our Bible first. We're going to pray. You know, and they kind of had that pattern there. And it seemed rigid to me. But it fed their souls, and it kept them where God wanted them to be. You know, and I just, you see that God just directed their paths, and they just acknowledged God was the one. And look what he says this. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's something our kids can see. You know, we're going to see some things in our world that, by the way, look real good on the surface. But again, our kids are going to look for credibility. They're going to say, man, you know, my dad and my mom, they gave this up because it was wrong. And it cost them, but it was real. Their faith was real. And that credibility, that's really the thing there, right? And I love that last part. It says, if we do that, it's going to be health to our flesh and strength to our bones. There are so many promises, by the way, when we go through the Psalms and other places, about as we obey and as we follow God in his way, it will be the way of blessing. And I want to say, Cindy actually sent me an email a long time ago, so you probably remember this, talk about what's this idea of blessing? You know, it's not just a one-time prayer where we bless our family and our kids, but the way of blessing is the way that we follow God. And our kids see it. We follow God when it's hard. We follow God when it's easy. You know, we do what God says because our faith is the foundational thing, and our trust in God is really what drives every decision and controls it. And again, that's something we could all do better at, right? Next thing is this, love and grace are manifested. We'll go right to that very quickly. And by the way, this passage, we talk about this passage numerous times, right, in our series on marriages and on parenting. But it's so important, right? You know, that we control our tongue. It says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. That we deal with our anger. That's that past, that verse precedes this, right? We don't let the sun go down on our wrath. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we're sealed till the day of redemption. We don't willfully sin against God because because we want something or we're angry or whatever. And then he says these words. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now I'm going to throw this out. I better look up for a second. Could we all, as we seek to model for our kids, do a better job of seeking and giving forgiveness? You know, we harbor those things, right? You know, we say things like, yeah, I will forgive you, but I ain't forgetting. You know, we do all those things, right? And basically what we're really saying is, I'm not forgiven. And I'm going to hold on to this thing so I can leverage it real good the next time I'm angry and we have conflict. But our kids need to see something different. They need to see love and grace manifested. When they fail, by the way, this guy wrote a book. His name is escaping me. I'll get it in a second. But he wrote a book he's calling Failing Forward. I love that idea. Failing Forward. In other words, we fail, we learn, and we move ahead. And our homes need to be that place. So when your kid comes home with a bad report card, discipline them, talk about it, set in place in motion things that are going to make you get better. Work with your student to do that, right? But failure is not fatal unless we don't learn. So let's learn from that. Our home has got to be a place where love and grace are manifested. Now throw this out. You know what grace is? Grace is they don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. No one deserves the grace of God. But we have to show our kids that our home is just a little bit like heaven, where there's grace when something goes wrong, and there's grace when we make bad choices, and there's grace when we sin. We just got to repent, go back to God, and get it, and use that grace in our lives. How about the next one? Prayer is practice. And we'll go there. Go there for me, Chris, real fast. Letter D. We know this passage. We could look, by the way, at a ton of other passages about prayer in Scripture. We did some of that before. But I want to take you, look at verse 14 and verse 16. Look what it says. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. I want to throw this out. When something's going wrong in our families, it's not time to cover it up. It's time to get the people of God to pray. Right? Because God's real, right? God is real, right? And God answers prayer. We know that, right? So when something's going on, it's time to say, people of God, I need your prayer. And our kids need to see that. When the going gets tough, we get all the group together and we pray and we seek the face of God. Right? And he says this, let them call for the elders, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Notice the next thing about prayer. Prayer's practice. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Again, think about that kind of home where we're saying, Dag, I blew it. I blew it today at work. I blew it today in the home. I blew it when I yelled at you and disciplined you too fast. But confessing our sins and then doing what? Praying for each other. You know, the church really is a larger picture of our home. And we got to be praying for each other. Prayer's got to be something that we practice, that we value, that we esteem highly, that prayer is important. And, you know, we talked about that. By the way, Pastor Ansu, I appreciate, at our marriage conference, me and Pastor Ansu kind of tag-teamed it, but I appreciate what you and Verna said. Pastor Ansu sometimes, by the way, anybody have a morning that just goes so fast? You got to get the kids ready. You got to do this. 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 You know, it's like a horse race that you're losing every day, right? And I appreciate what you guys said, how you guys then later, when the dust settles for like 3 seconds, they call each other up and say, let's pray. By the way, thank you for sharing that with us as a marriage group. That's a good thing, isn't it? Because I bet most of us have those kind of mornings, right? Where, you know, you can't get up fast enough. It seems like you always got up too late. Things don't work out. Everything happens. And we don't pray. But let our homes be a place where prayer is practiced. With creativity, by the way. How about the next one? Take it down, Chris, real quick, if you would. God is known and followed. Everybody look up. What was the issue in the book of Judges? The generation, while Joshua and the guys were living, everyone was following God. For some reason, the generation that followed them, they didn't even know who God was. They didn't know that God brought them out of the land of Egypt. They didn't know that God brought them across the Red Sea on dry land. They didn't know that they crossed the Jordan on dry land. They didn't know that the walls of Jericho fell down at a shout and the blowing of trumpets. They didn't know any of that stuff. They didn't know God. So our home has got to be a place where God is known and we call his name. We call his name. And then it's a place where God is followed. And we'll talk about instruction in a second and hope. But I want to go right down to the next slide, Christopher, if you take us there. Look at this verse, Psalm 112. We read it, by the way. Thanks, Greg, for reading that for us. But look what it says. It just says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And if we had time, I bet I could go to about 100 different verses that say that. We got to know who God is, and we got to communicate that, and then we got to follow it. And we got to say the truth when we don't follow it. And look what it says, by the way. If we do that, it says, his descendants will be mighty on earth, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Everybody, would you guys look at that for a second? You know, like I see people do this, and some of you guys do this in the front. Gloria does this sometimes. You know, you go to a seminar these days, and no one can write as fast as people can talk. And I know I can talk pretty fast, right? So people take pictures. This is the slide you want to take a picture of, right? And here's why. Look what it says. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So, by the way, everyone here, if I said, do you want your kids to know God? Do you want your kids to follow God? Do you want your kids to have a great life? Every hand would be up. Isn't that right? We're like, yes! You know, we putting all the hands up, all the fingers, yes, 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 yes. Look what it says. Live an upright life. Model that for them. Show them that. Do that yourself, and they're going to get it. The generation is going to be blessed by your righteousness. Remember back in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, after the Ten Commandments, it says that if we disobey God, that God visits, it says, you know, the sins upon what? The children and the grandchildren for generations to come. In other words, if we live a life that is anti-God, you know, we could talk God Sunday, but if we live anti-God Monday to Saturday, if we live that life, that sin and that thinking is going to be on the minds and on the hearts and in the actions of the kids that come behind us. Because one thing our kids are really, really good at, they can discern truth from error and what is real in our lives. So he says, hey, you want your kids to really know God and do the right things? You want them to be blessed? Guess what? Fear the Lord and delight in his commands. Right? Such an important thing, right? And we're going to shoot right on down, Chris. And Psalm 1, of course, says that among others. And by the way, this is not James 5. I do copy slides, and I didn't change the reference. This is the second part of that, verses 5 to 8, Psalm 112. Look what it says. It says, the righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is established, and he will not be afraid. And we're living in this day right now where we're going to talk about this, by the way, the next several weeks in November. The world has shaken us to the core. We see war everywhere, all kinds of problems, and we are shaken. We're thinking maybe Jesus is coming today right after church, or maybe he's going to come and end the message early. Some of you guys are saying, yes, praise God. But guess what? He's coming. But we need to not be shaken. And if we follow the Lord and he's known, we can be there. The last thing I want to share with you guys in terms of sort of this direction that we have, and Christopher, take us there real quick if you would, is this. Allah is the next to last thing. Instruction is given. Now, third side, look what it says. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, third side, no matter how old you are, whether you're a grandparent or a great-grandparent, if you live the way God wants you to live, you will remain a resource for your offspring. Many times it will only be a resource when something happens. And I'll share a story. Our son Daniel, you know, he's in school, he's in a graduate program, he's busy, he's doing everything. He doesn't really call us a lot. If the call gets made, it's usually Jane or me, and it's usually Jane more than me. So when we get a call from Dan, you know, like, and just a few weeks ago, we got two calls in the same week. One is, my car is smoking and it's not running. And the second was, this guy just hit me in the same week, right? And I say that to say this. Our kids, when the chips are down and when they can't explain life, when they need help, are going to reach out to us. And by the way, sometimes they're going to reach out, can you send some dollars my way, right? You know, we know how that goes. But they're going to reach out to us, and that gives us that ability to influence them no matter where they are in life and how old they are. And I want to encourage you guys, like, that's what we got to do. We got to keep giving instruction and let them know. I like the phraseology that's used here in Proverbs. He says, when you actually hear God's instruction and don't forsake the law of your mother and your father, doing that, it's like a graceful ornament around your neck. It's going to be like riches and you know, amazing jewelry that you wear. It'll be a thing of beauty when you do that. And I just want to challenge us there. And then the last thing, I'll throw this out. And by the way, we all do this. Everybody look up. We all do this. We all talk sometimes like there's no hope in God. It's like, you know, when we talk to people, it's always like, you know, like, and we have to get beyond the sigh, get beyond the pain, get beyond the problems to realize that there is a hope in God that does not quit. I'll share a funny story real quick. There's a guy, he's a brother, I believe, in Christ, but he has gone all over creation to run away from God. And when I call him, literally, the first word I hear from him is, no lie. Like, I know exactly. Like, and he'll call me on different phone numbers because he can't keep a cell phone like or the same number. So it's always like a different number. And the first word is, you know? And I want to throw this out. Sometimes that's us, isn't it? Like, we talk like there's no hope. We talk like this person is so far gone, there's no hope. And I want to encourage us, there is hope. And that hope is in God. That hope is not going to be in us, or it's not going to be in their own strength, or they're getting it or figuring it out. But we have to realize that God is the place of hope. And I love this phrase in the book of Isaiah. It says, have you not heard, known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So when we get down in our homes, our kids and our grandkids and et cetera, down that line, they ought to understand that no matter how bad it is, there's still hope because God is alive. And Jesus is present and the Holy Spirit's in our heart, right? And look what he says in this passage. You know, this passage, we sing this, by the way, is a great song. We could have sang that today, right, Cindy? Mounting up with wings like eagles. Beautiful song, right? But look what it says. It says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So, hey, when we're wrestling and we're struggling and we can't explain something, guess what? God can give us power. When we're on our last leg, on our last ounce of energy, God gives us power. So, like, as parents, right, let's let them know that our source of energy is always God, and he is unfailing. He's unfailing, right? And I love the verse 31. I know time is fleeting. He says, but to those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I throw this out as parents, right? A lot of times we're weary, we are fainting, and we are ready to throw in the towel. That's an American expression. You know what that means? That's like a boxing expression. You ever see like a boxer? You know, he's getting pummeled. And finally his coach on the sideline just takes the towel and says, throws it in and says, stop. It's hopeless, right? That's the idea, right? And that's what we're saying here. You know what? As parents, sometimes mom and dad are ready to say, get all the towels, just throw them in, stop. But what we're saying here is there is hope in this eternal. And I want to encourage us, just stop for a second. I think we could grab one of those seven things at least. And by God's grace and the power of his spirit, we could do those things better. And that's our last point, is like powering up personally, right? It's making the bridge and building the connection. Where do we go from here? And Chris, change that for me if you would. Where do we go from here? What are those things that we need to fix? What do we need to talk about? And by the way, I threw out, see a little star on there? For some reason, we came up with this crazy thing at the marriage conference, which is kind of cool. We had like little discussion questions. And at marriage conferences, you know, it can be really, really good, or it can get really, really hot. So we said the star means this. This is a point for discovery and discussion. So if you're here with your spouse or you're here with a family member talking about your home, these are places that we need to talk about. We need to figure out what could we do better. And we said this, by the way, too. It's not a place for disputing and fighting. It's about discovery and discussion. So I want to encourage us as families. We kind of know what's off a lot of times, but let's talk about it. Let's get a game plan, and let's do some of these seven things and focus on them to do them better, that we might have children that will follow the Lord, obey the Lord, and carry on the values and the faith and the love for Jesus that we have. Amen? We're going to pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. And I want to pray, dear God, that you would just work in our hearts as only you can. Lord, your word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray, Lord, that you would just change our hearts, Lord, convict us, move in a way, Lord, that you can. Father, give us hope. Help us, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, that the Spirit of God would take the words of Scripture, Lord, and just give us hope and enliven our hearts and give us the strength, Lord, to go on to lead the lives that will be a model for our kids. Father, work in us, dear God, as only you can, I pray. And Lord, humble us. Father, we can't do this without you. We can't have marriages that are strong. We can't have families that are strong, Lord, in our own strength. And I pray, dear God, that you would just work in such a way to bring that to bear. Lord, I just thank you for our time that we're able to spend, Lord, in your word today, in your worship, and even in this series. And I pray, dear God, that you would just go with us, Lord, as we go in our own directions now today. Father, we want to pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.